This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, my two personal favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now to bring in the incomparable, well-respected, and he would call me an acquaintance, I call him a friend, Nate Bauer.
Oh, wow. Oh, stop. You're a friend to me. The best. What's going on?
Doing well. Doing well. So, this is an interesting week.
Yeah, so far. What do you got?
Yeah, so far it's an interesting week. So, through five games, you know, what do you like about the football team? And what are the things that may maybe give you pause that you're searching for an answer, pro or con, from this team this week when they play USC?
Yeah, that's a great jumping off point, honestly, because I do think that, you know, there are some parallels to last year in terms of just doing what you need to do to win. Penn State has done that. You know, I think that I have some questions about the, not necessarily the quality of opponent that Penn State has played, but the character of games that Penn State has played, in the sense that no one has really pushed Penn State into the fourth quarter, right? I don't think. Bowling Green, yes, you can make an argument there. You know, certainly Penn State put Illinois away late. But I just think, generally speaking, I don't know what to expect out of this Penn State team if it is a different type of game, a different flow of game, a back-and-forth game, a game that, you know, gets Penn State into the fourth quarter, you know, at a possession difference in either direction. I'm not really sure what happens under those circumstances. But I do think it was interesting earlier this week, James Franklin at his press conference talking about, and I wrote about it today, actually, talking about the difference between this game and the West Virginia game, and how starting the season you just don't know, right? You have an idea of what you're supposed to be, you have an idea of what they're supposed to be, but you just don't know until it actually happens. Whereas going into this game, Penn State has an identity, right? It might not be what everyone expected. Maybe it is what everyone expected offensively. This is a team that is run heavy and has a physical, aggressive, violent offensive line with violent running backs, you know, and then a passing attack that has a continuous extension of last year in Drew Aller, who continues to just not make mistakes. He is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country. He's completing passes at a higher percentage, and he's doing it with a group of receivers that might not have a bona fide star outside of Tyler Warren, but has enough options to keep people guessing. So it's going to be interesting to see how that group fares, I guess, on the West Coast.
What I find interesting about the receiving group including Warren, is there have been four 100-yard receiving games.
Yep.
And it's been by four different players.
Yep.
I don't know what that means, but I find it interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, certainly there is an element of taking what is given, right? That's mm-hmm. that's something that has been a pretty much consistent thing under James Franklin throughout his time at Penn State, is not forcing the issue. That's what Drew Aller is doing. That's what he talks about. Sure, for sure. However, I've heard enough of James Franklin over the years to know that when he talks about diversification of the offense and making sure that players are getting touches and maximizing opportunities because games are shorter, right? Like Penn State, mm-hmm. there's this combination of things that are happening all at once. And that combination is the games themselves. You have fewer plays to work with. Penn State's efficiency offensively in staying on the field is better. It's much improved from where it was at the start of the season. But also this intentionality of making sure that everyone is involved. They want other defensive coordinators to guess. And this is conspiracy theory sounding, but I promise you it's not. A happy locker room is something that is born of involvement and engagement. And so it is extremely intentional to make sure that those receivers can feel like going into every game, they like today could be their day, right? That their number could be called and they could be the one that steps up. And that's how it's played out to this point in the season.
Which is interesting. Now, how do you view USC, especially after the game against Minnesota?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am buying the idea that cross-country travel is a thing. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't ignore it that the results are what they are. I think Big Ten teams are 1-8 when traveling two time zones or more.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying that was directly related to how that game played out. Certainly, Lincoln Riley had some issues with the officiating at the end of that game. I think it is foolish from the outside, right? As somebody who doesn't watch USC all the time, I think it is foolish to look at that game and say, oh, because USC now has two losses, it is somehow a less potent opponent. I don't think that. I don't think that at all.
No.
I think Minnesota played the brand of football that it plays and played the type of game that it wants to play. But I still think that at home, this will be an offensive attack that Penn State has not seen so far this season.
Right.
I don't think that any of the quarterbacks, Bowling Green, accepted, and that's right, a mid-50s passing offense with a mid-60s passing efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
This is a more pass-reliant USC offense that Penn State is going to have to stop, and I think it's going to be a challenge for them. I think the numbers are going to be different from what they're used to.
This is a side issue. Part of it does deal with USC, and that is the replay reviews. I'm watching Virginia Tech Miami. End of the game. On the field, it's called and ruled a touchdown. Now, do I think the ACC control room in Charlotte, quote, actually in the end got it right? Yeah. But it's how they got there.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to have indisputable video evidence. I watched it, like everybody else in America, 12 times and went, I can't tell. I'm watching USC Minnesota. Okay, Brosmer tries to push it over the goal line. Now, do I think he got in? Yeah, I do. Right? But they marked him a half yard short of the goal line. And then they overturned it on replay. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you see the ball? Right?
Yep.
But do I think they got it right? Yeah, but it's how they got there. And then I'm watching Cal Miami, and the kid squarely hits the quarterback in the helmet. Well, it's not targeting. What are we seeing here with all this, in your opinion?
I don't know that I have a good answer for you, honestly. I mean, I don't. That, I think that it is, and again, this is why some of what James Franklin has talked about this season is important, in the sense that Penn State hasn't been in a situation. They have not put themselves in a situation where that type of thing has come into play. And so, to me, when I look at this game, I see the dictation of style as being critically important. If Penn State can play with a lead, it totally changes everything. What they do defensively. It changes the wealth of pass pressure that Penn State can get defensively. It changes their opportunity for interceptions, all of it. Right? It just changes that dynamic, and one of those dynamics is officiating, right? And certainly we've seen it through the years, officiating that comes into play in ultra-tight contests. And I think that he knows, and that Penn State knows, that's the type of thing where if you're in that environment, if you are in that situation, funny things can happen, things that are beyond your control. And so the best that you can do is just try to control the things that you can, and make it so that that doesn't become a factor.
Right. Well, you mentioned the travel part. We know that the team is going out early, and eventually basketball is going to go out there, and it's going to be a 5-day trip, Friday through Tuesday. I'm sure you're going.
Would love to.
Oh, Girardi already has a setup at Santa Anita on Super Bowl Sunday. We're in.
Go.
Oh, no, we're all. It's an off day, right? So we're going to get the grand tour, which is going to be great. But you talked about you're becoming a believer in what the travel part means. Washington comes east, they lose to Rutgers, but then Michigan goes west and they lose to Washington. So for you in the end, what are you going to look at? People going west, going east to west, or going west to east, or both, as to how to write a story on what cross country means? Because to be honest with you, the trip back from USC is about the same length of time as a bus trip back from Rutgers.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that your body adjusting. I will be interested to see how those teams on the West Coast do, because let's be honest, the burden has been put on them. The things that the original Big Ten powers kind of requested from this arrangement was that they be treated preferentially. And that's what it is, right? You're not seeing, now obviously Ohio State has to go to the West Coast. Penn State's going to go to the West Coast, but that West Coast game is going to be at a normal starting time for Penn State, for East Coast time, as opposed to UCLA, which experienced a 9 a.m. start effectively for their body clocks. I think that the whole conversation about when to go is fascinating. This stuff about the airport, and there's many different ways to read it. But either way, no matter how you slice it, for Penn State to travel its entire party to the West Coast demands a full day of travel. And so, the fact that it's happening on Thursday, which is Penn State's jog through day anyway, they'll be okay, right? But either way, door to door, you're looking at 9-10 hours, probably, I would guess.
Or, yes.
Right, to go down to Harrisburg and fly.
Yep.
A 10-hour travel day for Penn State to get there. It's nobody can say it's unfair. This is just the new, this is the new normal. This is what it's going to be, you know, until future realignment happens and they figure out that this isn't normal, right? The Eagles, right? The Philadelphia Eagles have two trips like that this season, one to the West Coast and one to Brazil. So the fact that you're putting this on college kids is just kind of doubly insane. But look, we'll see. We'll see what happens for Penn State on Saturday.
Do we take that same attitude in future years? Just as a thought, not as a commentary here. But do you take a different attitude, or will fans take a different attitude when the players are actually getting money from the university? Because the judge, Claudia Wilkin, has signed off on the settlement. She did so this week, and April 7th, they will officially have everybody sign off on it. Is there a different attitude about all this compared to what it is now?
Yeah, my remaining qualm and argument is the marriage of higher education and pro sports. And so if the component of having, and I'm dead serious about this, literally any academic responsibility during this type of travel and this type of arrangement, it's untenable. It's not fair to the players. It's not fair to the programs. It's not fair, right? This idea of college football as something where players go to class, and that's still an expectation of James Franklin and Penn State and how they operate. You're gonna have to change those things. You're gonna have to change what it means to be academically eligible and to carry the amount of credits that it takes to. To maintain that eligibility, I just think that they're gonna have to find a new paradigm for what that looks like, because I don't think it can look the way that it currently does when that is the future, right? So regardless of whether or not it's the Big Ten expanding or the SEC and Big Ten, because like James Franklin brought it up this summer. The Big Ten has disadvantaged itself by expanding to the extent that it did from a geographical perspective, as opposed to the SEC, which has expanded to Texas, but generally remains within that footprint of the southeastern part of the country. It is wildly unequal between the two conferences and what's being demanded of them. So I think it will be very interesting to see over the next few years how those competitive advantages that the SEC has over the Big Ten end up playing out in the playoffs.
Penn State can win Saturday if.
I mean, I think they can win playing a good game, which I don't think that they've played a complete game necessarily since West Virginia, right? And certainly you could include Kent State in that. But that's a different animal. I don't think that the start is necessarily, right? Like people talking about the quick starts and stuff, I don't know that that's necessarily going to dictate success or failure. I just think that if Drew Aller and Penn State's offense, Penn State, right, the whole thing, if Drew Aller maintains the level of quarterbacking that he has done to this point in the season and doesn't make mistakes, Penn State will be in a position to win that game at the end of the game. But I do think it is very much to Penn State's advantage to not have to come from behind.
Oh, no question. You need to play with the lead in a game like this. And for everybody, I don't know what this means, but I say watch out for the third quarter. For whatever reason, both teams have been really good in the third quarter. So which one's the better team in this third quarter?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get back to the business of breaking par.
Not anytime soon. So bad. I'm a mess.
We can't have you a mess. Yeah? Come on, basketball's on the horizon. Can't have you a mess.
I know. And yet, here we are.
That's what I was doing this week. I was splitting my time between the two practices this week. But today's an off day for basketball, so there you go. All right. You are the best, at least in my opinion. Thanks so much,
thanks,
my friend.
Steve.
Hey, you
thanks
bet.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. All right. And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.